Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Mvundisi, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lupagane. How are you?
I am very well. Thank you very much, Pastor. How are you?
Well, I'm okay. God is good.
Lovely, lovely. Am I correct? We're supposed to be chewing on chapter 20 today. Am I mistaken?
Yes, yeah, correct. Man, I must be sorry. Yesterday, we had a very long meeting.
I understand. Not a problem. I couldn't. Not a problem. Not a problem for this. All right, let me read chapter 20, which is probably the most famous of all the chapters. People know this chapter particularly because of the Decalogue. So we're going to read it and go through it. It's a very, very interesting chapter for me. I've never gone in depth with a pastor with it, so I have a lot of questions. So I'm going to try and go through it as quick as I can, and hopefully your comments, you can be as brief as I can get into the questions. It reads as follows: I am the Lord, and God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything, and behave in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children of the sin of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your menservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Anything that belongs to your neighbor. When the people saw the thunder and the lightning, heard the trumpet and saw the mountain and smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself. We will listen, but do not have God speak to us, or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites this: you have seen for yourself that I have spoken to you from heaven. Do not make any gods to be alongside me. Do not make for yourselves gods of silver or gold of gold. Make an altar of earth for me, and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, your sheep and goats and your cattle. Wherever I cause my name to be honored, I will come to you and bless you. If you make an altar of stones for me, do not build it with dressed stones, for you will defile it if you use a tool on it. And do not go up to my altar steps, lest your nakedness be exposed on it." May the Lord bless the reading of his word now and forever. Amen. Your comments, Mfundisi.
Amen. All right, thank you so much, Naya. I think my first comment here is that this is the Ten Commandments, and as they are recorded in Scripture, I want to highlight in passing that Christians have different views of the same commandments. There are those who think that they are no longer binding. There are those who say, yes, they are still binding. And others are claiming that we are now not under the law, but under grace. And therefore, there is no obligation to obey the law. That I'm saying in passing, but coming to the passage and that we have read is from verse 1 through to 17, we see the Ten Commandments from the first until the last of the ten. I want to summarize it by saying that in the New Testament, Christ was asked, which is the great commandment in the Gospel of Matthew 22:36-40. His answer was that the first one is to love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. And the second, like it, is to love your neighbor as yourself. My study of that verse has indicated that to love God is reflected upon when we honor and keep the first four. They relate between us and God. I may summarize them, the first one being, we shall have no other gods but God. The second one, we shall have no, make no image and not worship them. And then the third, we shall not use the name of Jehovah in vain. And the fourth being the Sabbath, that we should remember is a seventh day upon which God rested after six days of labor. He then blessed it and also sanctified it. Then from verse 12 up to the last verse, we see the relationship between each other, man to man, or man as creation of God, that we honor our parents, we don't murder. And we must also underline that specifically the Bible says here, we must not murder as opposed to killing, because killing is like slaughtering an animal for the wedding, for whatever event. That one is allowed, but murder refers to when we kill somebody. And so we must not do that. And then also we must not commit adultery. Of course, this day and age, this is a common sin, but the Lord is still against it. And we need to try by always as Christians to abide by the law and obey even this one among the Ten Commandments. And as well as we should not then steal, we should not also bear false witness against other people, whether in the court of law or anywhere. We must not bear false witness. God is displeased when we lie against our fellow human beings. And then the other one, the last one, is covetousness. We must not covet anything. We must appreciate when a person is buying a new home, a new house, or a new car. We must not be jealous of that person and convert and wish that it should be us. Let's just congratulate a person while we pray for all blessings. Because when God can bless the neighbor, why not he bless me in my own time, in his own time? So that's the summary of the chapter that I can briefly state it before you crucify me with your question.
Oh, no, Mpunis. Oh, Nkosiya. This is not crucifixion. Oh, you never. Am I that kind of a person, though, Mpunis? Oh,
you
know, Nkosiya.
You judge for yourself.
Oh, Mpunis. Oh, Nkosiya. Okay. Let's get into the questions, Mpunis. First, These 10 commandments, we are told, came from God.
Yes.
And I found it rather interesting that these 10 commandments also appear in other scriptures that predate Moses and his Sinai experiences. They appear in the Book of the Dead. And they appear in other scrolls that predate the Mount Sinai experience. Are these original to Mount Sinai?
Well, let me state it categorically that when God pronounced them on Mount Sinai, they were not just new to the nation of Israel. they appeared even in the scripture. If you can just refer to the scripture, I think it's Genesis 26, where Abraham was also reminded that he must obey the law. And in chapter 16 of the book of Exodus, we see specifically the Sabbath being mentioned there. But there's a comment that says, if you obey the Sabbath, you're keeping the law of God. If you break it, you're breaking the law. Also in the context of James chapter 2, verse 10, that says, you may keep all of them, but if you're breaking one, you have broken all of them. I normally make one example as a watch. You know, when you put only watch in your wrist, you have only one place to open and close. Once you open that one, the whole watch is off your hand. Once you close that one, the whole watch is in your hand. So the Ten Commandments is like a chain. You can't separate them. That's the thing. So they're not just original here, but they originate with God. And the reason why God is now giving them here, it is after he has delivered them from the bondage. If you look at another...
No. What I'm trying to establish in Funis is whether it is true that these commandments do appear in other documents. Do you know whether these commandments appear in the scroll attributed to Hammurabi, and or whether
I know nothing of that nature. It is why I'm just focusing on scripture. I was just saying that it's not only new in Exodus 20. They were there even before. That's what I was telling you. But
okay,
because within the pages of the Holy Bible.
Yeah. So I'm not referring to the Bible now, friends. I'm referring to humanity, that communities in the Sinai Peninsula already had more than just the 10. There were over 200 of these laws. It so happened that Moses only documented 10 of the over 200 that already pre-existed the Sinai experience. And so I'm trying to establish, Mfunis, do you know of any of this?
No, I don't know of any of that. It might be possible because God is a self-revealing God. He might have revealed himself to the people so they can know who he is. Because if you look at the nature of law, you see it as a reflection of God's character. So God may have revealed himself, but I'm not really well versed with other scrolls apart from the Bible itself, which was a scroll initially before it became the book like it is today.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's get into the actual commandments themselves. First, God says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. What's the efficacy of that? It sounds like somebody who will help you one time. And every time they want something from you, they say, remember, I helped you. And now you, I helped you. What is the efficacy of God reminding them constantly of this?
Well, we must remember that God is holy. God is not a sinner like we human beings are. God is love. He loves his people. He cannot really be nasty to them by reminding them. The constant reminder appears not only with regards to the Ten Commandments, but also with regards to the Ten Commandments. The reason is that when they were in bondage in Egypt, they were so oppressed in such a manner that the worship of God was impossible. And even the keeping of the commandments was impossible. Because I did say this at a time that there's a difference between a worker and a slave. A worker has rights, a slave has no rights. So now God has set them out of the slavery. God has the right to institute his 10 commandments and remind them that because I have delivered you from this and that, now I am expecting you as my people to honor me and obey me and keep my commandments. It's not that God is a tyranny who's sort of saying, you know, if you don't keep these commandments, I can take you back. No, it's not in that logic.
Okay. You shall not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything in heaven. And yet God is the one who instructed them to make a snake. A bronze snake. That's a bit of a contradiction, isn't it?
Well, if you recall, there are some strange symbols which the Bible is using, like a snake. We know that a snake in the scripture, he represents the dragon, which is Satan himself in chapter 20 or the book of Revelation. And even Christ is likened to that frozen snake. When he was here, he said, as Moses lifted up the snake,
yes,
the Son of Man shall also be lifted up.
Right.
It's a strange comparison. A very strange comparison. However, it is just like that.
But my question is on him here in the commandment saying, you, I am the Lord your God. You shall have, you shall not make for yourself an idol. And yet he himself, yes, God instructs the making of a bronze snake. I'm suggesting that's a contradiction.
Well, the making of the bronze snake, well, it's not similar to what God is saying here, because they did not make it for themselves to bow down to it, to eat and worship.
That's exactly what happened, Mfundisi. They made it for themselves. It is Moses who made it for them so that they can worship it when other snakes bite them. The Bible says they had to look at that bronze snake. If you get bitten by a snake, you must look at that bronze snake. So their hope was not pinned on Moses. They were not pinned on the God in the clouds. Their hopes were pinned on looking at the snake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there's a difference, my era, between looking and bowing down and worshiping.
Let me read the whole commandment so that you understand exactly why this is a bit off to the layperson, and you as theologians can make it plain and understandable to us. Verse 4 says, you shall not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything.
Mm-hmm.
So the first part is, it must not be in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath, which is a snake. Snakes are on earth, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them. So the second instruction, as far as this command is concerned, first, don't make it. Secondly, even if it is made, even if you didn't make it, you, verse 5 says, you shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin, blah, 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 blah. He continues. So it is not only the making that God is against, it is looking at it, worshiping it, hoping that you're going to get something from it. And yet the very same God instructs Moses to make a bronze snake where people will get their salvation if they look at it.
Mm.
So there's a big problem here. I need you to help me understand.
Okay. Let me give you my theological analysis.
Right,
of this,
right.
This is from verses 4 to 6. I'm making a comparison between the first commandment and the second commandment.
Right.
And this is what I cover. The first commandment specifies the who of worship, that is God, right?
Okay.
I agree there. The who must be worshiped, that is God.
I'm with you.
And then the second commandment restricts the how of worship. How must we worship, and how we should not worship. That is the gist of the whole thing.
Right.
The how part excludes the images, whether they are in heaven, whether they are on earth, or anywhere under the water. We must not make them. We must not bow down and worship them.
Right, right.
Because God is a jealous God.
Mm.
That is the gist of the thing. Coming to the example that you are asking or making of the frozen snake, for me, that's a study on its own, which you can study. But I don't think it nullifies the importance of this second commandment. It's not in contradiction in any sense.
Okay, let's move on to the Holy of Holies. In the Holy of Holies, the one prominent piece of furniture in the Holy of Holies is the Ark of the Covenant. And guess what's in the Ark of the Covenant, Mfundisi? Idols. They are idols. Two idols crafted in the form of an angel touching wings with another angel. So you see both these two idols in the form of angels. And yet, verse 4 says, whether in heaven above or on the earth below. But God is the one who instructed the molding and the crafting of this golden image. Contradiction again, isn't it, Mfundisi?
Well, I underline the word you have used, image. is a picture image of some sort,
Right.
mind image of some sort. The angel is in symbol. It is not even literal in a sense. And
It's still an
also,
idol, Funes. That's how they made the golden calf with the same
yeah,
material.
but
The difference is the
they
one was a calf, other one is an angel. Other one was a bronze, was made of bronze, other one was made of gold.
There is no call in scripture to worship that, what you call that image. And
The two angels?
although it was upon the ark of the of God, but there's no worship of it. You know, there were moments when it was bright and glorious, and there were moments when it was covered by the cloud. God was just communicating a message
So,
through that.
when the high priest on the Day of Atonement would go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood of the Lamb on the tent, on the altar, what was that? Wasn't that worship, Mfundis?
It was the cleansing, right,
So
of
they
the
were
symbol
worshipping an
of
idol or two idols in the form of angels.
no. The symbol of cleansing, because once you use you spirit the blood, there's cleansing element there.
So how do we
Sins
stop other people who
were
have
forgiven.
angels in their homes? And they make up angels in their homes and they say, no, it's just a symbol. It was there in the Holy of Holies, so it's nothing wrong.
Okay. Yeah, we cannot be conscious of all the people. If you keep that image, as long as you don't bow down to it and worship it, you can have it.
So what happens to verse 4? Verse 4 says, don't make it at all. You seem to be focusing on verse 5, which says don't worship it, but verse 4 says don't make it at all.
Yeah, well, as I'm saying, I'm not the conscience of everyone. So people have a choice. Well, some may not be believers
They have a
as well
choice, Mfundis. God
in
gives a
this world.
commandment. You're saying people have a choice whether to follow it or not?
No. I'm talking about not. So some people are not Christians. Just let yourself and myself and others. In my house, there's no image of any sort, and there'll be never until I die, or
Well,
my children also won't worship them,
in your house
or
there's a
heaven in heaven.
in your house there are Bibles and Funis that reference this very same event. That's what we're reading about right now. And there appears to be no compunctions on any minister to condemn this as a contradiction. So help us understand how it settles with you so it can settle with us. These are two idols in the
All
Holy
right.
of Holies.
I wonder if the phraseology idol is used in the scripture as you put it, or
No,
is it
it's
made?
not used, Mfunis. It simply says, verse
Yeah.
4 says, you shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything. So,
Yeah.
according to the Bible, it says, in the form of anything in heaven, and we do know angels are in heaven, or on earth, we know snakes are in earth, and we see the form that is mentioned here in the Decalogue to be the form of angels, two cherubs in the Holy of Holies, and a bronze snake in the desert. So it is the form that I'm referring to that the Bible says that form that you make, that form, whether it is a form of something in on heaven above, on earth beneath, or the water, that form is an idol.
Yeah, if the Bible is not calling it an idol, then we don't have
That's
the
what the
right to
Bible says,
invoke
Mfunis. The Bible is saying idols in the form of anything. So anything that has been put there is an idol. That's what the Bible is saying.
Yeah, but I maintain my understanding that the use of those images were positive usage, because the law of God is a positive law.
Okay.
Maybe let us make a statement here, like saying, we as Adventist Church, we don't use jewelry normally, but there are those who are choosing to use jewelries. However, we define jewelries in two ways. We have ornamental jewelries, and then we have functional jewelries.
Say
The functional being,
that again from what jeweler? The second jewelry?
we have the functional and then the
Functional.
ornamental.
Okay. Functional. Okay.
So if the jeweler is functional, then the Bible has no issue against it, such as your watch, such as your wedding
Okay.
ring. Not the jewelers.
Okay. We can have a conversation about jewelry on
Because
another day.
they are functional, they serve a purpose, which is a symbol of marriage. Then the Bible has no issues.
Let's not digress to jewelry. Let's stick to the Decalogue for
I
today.
was making an example. So let's apply the same principle.
Okay, let's go to the to the commandment. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. What does that mean, Funes? Yeah. What does it mean to misuse the name of the Lord your God?
Misuse. Yeah, there are many ways we can do this misuse of the way the name of the Lord. When I grew up, we used to lie as kids. And when you know that we are lying, we are going to I'm saying make an oath. I would just use the light word,
okay,
compared to the other one,
okay,
like swearing.
Oh, okay,
that's what God is against here. It may mean many other things, like you and I. We are claiming to be Christians, but
right,
if we were to worship, if we were to practice witchcraft, I'm just making an extreme example.
Right.
That would be the misuse of the name of God, because in one hand, we are worshiping God, in the other hand, we're practicing that which is against
God. Fair enough. Let's get into that issue, Mfunis. In court,
yeah,
when you are going to be a witness in court, you are sworn in, and that swearing-in ceremony, particularly in Christian countries, they use the Bible, and they swear you in literally, whereupon you'll say, "So help me God." Is that misusing the name of the Lord your God?
No, not in that sense. The answer is yes and no. Yes, if you swear and lie after under oath, misusing the name of the Lord.
Okay. Oh, I hear it. I hear that.
To say, "So help me God," and speak that by the truth, they were not breaking the law.
Oh, okay. Not a problem. I was going to bring in Jesus there, but perhaps for another day, we're running out of time. Verse 8 talks about the Sabbath, and what bothered me is about slavery there and servanthood. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day." Verse 9 says, 6 days you shall labor. Verse 10 says, "But the seventh days of the Lord." And then, Lord, on it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates, blah, blah, blah. Is the Bible encouraging us to have servants and slaves? Because in other versions use the word slave.
Yeah, let me just take one item at a time. The Sabbath is a law of equality. Because the employer and the employees must respect each other. The boss cannot boss around and send me to work when it's the Sabbath day.
Right.
I'm free.
Right.
Yeah, that's what. So now the use of the term slave in those days, slaves were still in existence. We remember even Hagar was the slave in the house of Abraham and Sarah. But that term was only limited in that day and age.
So it was permissive. So it was permissive for people those days to have slaves.
I would say so, because of the cultural context or something.
When did it stop being permissible?
Well, I may not know, but in the progress of time, you know. In fact, in biblical times, it continued, because even Paul is the Paul and Peter.
Absolutely.
I'm still using those terms.
Absolutely. You took the words right out of my mouth. In the scripture, you don't find it anywhere where owning slaves is a bad thing. Again, I'm going to ask, is the church against slavery?
I believe so.
Based on what verse? Because there's no verse in the Bible that is against slavery.
Well, we speak about religious liberty,
which doesn't have its foundation in the Bible. On what basis are we against slavery if the Bible is not against slavery?
Let's just finish this thought of religious liberty. People have a right to worship, and of course, you know that in terms of God, God is the only person upon whom worship is supposed to be given to. But in this world, according to the law of the land, people can worship even dogs and stone and something like that. We respect that because of the law of the land. However, coming back to the scripture itself, when Paul was talking, he was even advocating for the slave who was a runaway slave. I think it's Philemon, if I recall that he must know. Be sort of treated as a servant of God and something like that. The bottom line here is that the biblical times and our times, the phrases that we use are not the same.
I'm not sure if that answers my question, Mfundis. My question is, if we can see no evidence in Scripture that abolishes slavery, why is the church abolishing it? Why is the church against slavery?
All right, no, then I'll come to that. I will answer that by asking a question. What would the church gain if they practice slavery today?
If the church did what, Mfundis?
If they practice slavery, what would they gain?
The same thing that the slave owners then gained.
Yeah, but you must know that people are liberated today, and law of liberty don't allow anyone to enslave any other. You can be taken into task today.
I understand, Mfundis. Even though you can be taken to task, I'm not quite sure if that is a biblical basis to do or not to do anything. If we are supposed to be obeying the will and the instructions and the pleasures of God, by what basis do we contradict what God has regulated? God is not against slavery. He regulates it. Where do we get it from as Bible-based believers that we need to go against it? Why can't we do what God does, regulate it, not abolish it, regulate it?
Yeah, well, there is also a spirit of Ubuntu, which we as Africans uphold.
So even God is against Ubuntu?
I'm simply saying that the spirit of Ubuntu is not allowing you and I to oppress anyone.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure slavery is equal to oppression, Mfundis, especially. No. I'm okay with that. I am not sure about it because we are, unless we're saying God is for oppression. Are you saying God is for? Because since we know God is for slavery and is regulating it there, then you're saying God is for oppression.
No. I'm saying that God cannot be for oppression. That is why the Christian church is not practicing it, because God is not.
Why was Paul saying that Philemon must go back to his slave master then?
Well, if we use the eye of the ancient times, we may then understand what was the issue there.
But remember, Mfundisi, this is not the eye of the ancient times. This is the eye of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that inspires all time. So we can't really talk about this argument of time lapse because it's the Holy Spirit that knows what's happening now and what's happening then. If the Holy Spirit inspired people to write things that would not abolish, it knew that there would be the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. It knew that there would be times where there would be a Bill of Rights in South Africa and other countries. But still, the Holy Spirit inspired Philemon to go back through the mouth of Paul to be owned as a slave again. Why?
I don't know.
I understand, Mfundis. I also don't know. I was hoping you have an answer for me. People who would ask me the question, I was hoping you'd give the answer. All right. Our time is up, Mfundis. We didn't even finish. Oh, my goodness. We couldn't finish our conversation. Our time is up. Thank you very much, nonetheless, Mfundis. I really appreciate your time and your insights.
I will come to listeners. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I got a text message here, Mfundis, from somebody who's listening. Thank you, Naya. This is thought-provoking, and you making even me ask a listener start to make sure for what we believe in, giving reasons for our faith. I don't know who this is. They didn't tell us what their name is, but Rabisin Ngoma. Rabisin, I think that's the name written there on the WhatsApp. Thank you very much, Rabisin Ngoma. Appreciate your text.
So much.
Mfundis, somebody's appreciating what you're doing. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We praise God for that. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Mfundis.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.